The guest bedroom smells like vanilla and damp wool. Chloe is huddled on the edge of the mattress, her knees pulled to her chest, a small, shivering bird in an oversized hoodie. I brought her the heavy duvet, the one my mother made, and tucked it around her shoulders. She didn't thank me. She just exhaled a shaky, jagged breath that sounded like a saw caught in a throat made of glass. "I saw his car again," she whispers. Her eyes are wide, rimmed with a raw, frantic red. "Two blocks from the office. He's circling, Maya. He knows I'm not at my apartment." I don't say anything. I just put my hand on her shoulder. The fabric of her hoodie is thin, and I can feel the frantic leap of her pulse under the skin of her neck. It's a terrifying steed. It makes me feel steady, solid, and necessary. I go to the window and pull the heavy curtain shut, overlapping the fabric so not even a sliver of the street lamp can leak through. The sound of the curtain ring sliding across the metal rod is final. A sharp, metallic hiss. "You're safe here," I say. It's the second time I've said it tonight. She looks up, a single tear tracking through the pale dust of her foundation. "I don't deserve you," she says. She reaches out and grips my wrist. Her grip is surprisingly tight, dry, cold fingers locking onto my bone. I don't move. I can't. The morning light is filtered through the blinds, casting long, cage-like shadows across the kitchen island. Chloe is already awake. She's sitting in my chair, wearing my silk robe, cradling a mug of coffee. She looks better. The frantic edge is smoothed into a dull, flat calm. "I couldn't sleep," she says, her voice devoid of the tremor from last night. "I kept thinking about your back door. The lock is a grade 2. It takes 6 seconds to bypass with a shim." I pause with the milk carton in my hand. "I've lived here 5 years, Chloe. It's a quiet neighborhood." "It was quiet for me too," she counters. She sets a sleek, white box on the granite. "It's a smart home hub. I ordered this for you, express delivery. If we sync it to our phones, I can monitor the perimeter while you're at work. We can see them coming before they even reach the porch." She uses the word "we" like a bandage. It feels responsible. It feels protective. I think of her shivering under the duvet, and the guilt of my own safety feels like a lead weight in my stomach. "I can't let you pay for that," I say. "It's not about the money, Maya. It's about the access." She picks up her highlighter and begins dragging it across my personal planner, which she's pulled from my bag. Click, click. The neon yellow ink bleeds through the paper, marking my gym times, my dinner with Mark, my late shifts. "I've already mapped your routine," she says, looking up with a faint, thin smile, "to keep the gaps closed. You've been so open with me, it was easy to see where you're exposed." She slides the phone toward me. The app is already open. It's asking for a master bypass code. She leans over, her hair brushing my cheek, and types in a sequence of numbers before I can blink. "There," she whispers. "Now I know exactly when you're home, and I know exactly when you aren't." The save icon spins on the screen. It is the only thing moving in the room. The house doesn't sound like mine anymore. It sounds like a series of permissions. Every time I cross a threshold, the sensors Chloe installed emit a low, rhythmic chirp. It's supposed to be a reassurance, a heartbeat for the house, but it feels more like a tally. "You were in the garage for 22 minutes, Chloe says, not looking up from her laptop. She's moved her entire workstation into my dining room. My grandmother's lace tablecloth is buried under tangled charging cables and external hard drives. I was looking for the holiday lights, I say, my voice sounding defensive even to my own ears. Why are you tracking the internal sensors, Chloe? I thought the cameras were for the perimeter." "Gaps! Maya, we talked about the gaps." She clicks a key and the monitor flickers. She turns it toward me. It's a heat map of my own home. My movements are recorded in glowing orange streaks. "If he gets past the fence, I need to know which room you're hiding in so I can tell the police. If I don't have the data, I can't protect the asset." The asset. She catches herself and softens, her eyes welling up with that practiced, shimmering moisture. "I'm sorry. I can't lose this place. I can't lose the only person who believed me." She slides a document across the table. "It's a joint utility authorization form. I took the liberty of merging our service accounts. It's cheaper this way, and since I'm handling the security subscription, it makes sense for the internet and power to be in my name too. One less thing for you to worry about while you're so stressed." I look at the signature line. My name is already there, printed in her neat, cramped handwriting, waiting for my initials. My hand shakes as I reach for the pen. It feels like a safe choice. A way to anchor her here, to keep her from spiraling back into the terror she described. "I also updated your recovery email for the vault," she adds casually. her fingers dancing across the mechanical keyboard. Click, clack, click, clack. In case he hacks your primary, you know how they target the weakest link. I sign. The ink is black and permanent. There, she whispers, closing the laptop with a soft, decisive thud. Now, if he tries to cut the lines, I'll be the first to know. You won't even have to deal with the notification. She stands up and walks toward the kitchen. As she passes the hallway sensor, the house chirps for her. It sounds like a greeting. The sage bundle in Chloe's hand is a smoldering torch. She moves through the living room, waving the gray smoke into the corners, the herbal scent thick enough to coat the back of my tongue. It feels like a ritual. It feels like a siege. Mark called again, I say, checking my phone. The screen is blank. No notifications. I was supposed to meet the group for drinks at 8. I should probably tell him I'm staying in. I already took care of it, Chloe says. She doesn't stop her circling. The smoke follows her like a veil. I sent him a text from the hub. I told him you were exhausted and needed to disconnect. He didn't seem to get it, Maya. He made a joke about you being MIA. He doesn't understand the stakes. I feel a small, sharp prick of annoyance, but it's immediately blunted by a wave of guilt. She's the one who was followed. She's the one living in the shadows. My annoyance feels like a betrayal of her trust. He's just being Mark, I murmur. He's being a liability, she counters, her voice flat. She stops in front of me, the glowing tip of the sage inches from my chest. I saw a car, a silver sedan idling at the corner when he dropped you off last week. If he's not looking over his shoulder, he's leading them straight to your door. Do you want to gamble your safety on his personality? She reaches out and takes my phone from the counter. She doesn't snatch it, she lifts it with the gentle authority of a nurse taking a sharp object from a child. I put it on guardian mode, she says. It filters out any numbers not on the whitelist. We can't have you getting distracted by social noise when we need to be alert. It's for the best, right? I look at her. She looks so small, so fragile in the haze of the sage smoke. I think about the silver sedan. I don't remember seeing one, but Chloe is the one who's trained to look. My memory feels suddenly porous, unreliable. Right, I whisper. The house chirps. Someone is at the front porch. I move toward the window, but Chloe's hand is on my arm, her grip cold and dry. Don't, she commands. The external speakers are active. I'll handle the interaction through the app. You stay in the kitchen, away from the glass. She taps her screen. On the monitor, I see Mark standing on my porch, looking confused, holding a bottle of wine. He reaches for the doorbell. Before his finger touches it, Chloe's voice, distorted and metallic through the outdoor speaker, blasts into the night. Maya and Maya is unavailable. Please leave the property immediately for security reasons. Mark flinches. He looks at the camera, his face a mask of hurt. He says something, but Chloe has already muted the feed. She looks at me, her eyes bright with a terrifying, protective fire. See, she says, he didn't even try to check if you were okay. He just stood there. He's not a protector, Maya. Only I am.